The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. What are you doing? Right here.
Cat's pajamas, the Titanic's hidden iceberg.
Oh my God.
I meant to do that last week, but I accidentally opened the soda.
You can hear us on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order, and of course brought to you by...
Who knows why you would want to.
Brought to you by our sponsor, Shellhead Comics blog, shellheadcomics.com, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com. Welcome my noisy co-host, Dave Draper.
Yay!
We are back, gang. We are one episode out from episode 200.
Woo, comma, who?
Oh, come on.
I don't know. You should be the one that's all kind of blah about it, because, I mean, you're the one that has to, like, wrangle three different cats.
Eh.
I mean, one of them obviously has nothing going on, so he can show up whenever.
Oh, you.
That would be me.
Oh, yeah.
The other two actually are successful and productive and have
that's true.
Have things to do.
They have lives. Yeah. Nope, that's all wrangled, so we're
you, ready. Oh, you actually got that wrangled?
Yeah, I got it wrangled while I was upstairs a little while ago. Yeah, I just hadn't mentioned it yet.
Oh, okay.
It is all wrangled. I'm getting ready to...
So we good to go next week? Is that the plan?
We are.
Yeah, just check your phone while we're recording.
Yes.
Make fun of me for doing my little clicky thing.
At least
the audience could hear the clicking.
Oh my God. We are ready to go for episode 200, gang. I'm really excited. We've hit 200 episodes.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's kind of surprising.
It's very surprising knowing us.
Well, and then you look at some of the other podcasts, I'm like, we are workhorses. They may not all be winners, but we get them out.
No, they're not all they're not all diamonds, that's for sure.
Although it always surprises me, some of these, like, that we just kind of literally pull out of our buttocks, and then you post them, and people are like, this is a great episode! And you're like,
really?
Okay. Maybe we should, like, stop making an effort whatsoever.
Just be like,
so... whatever, so,
so, yeah.
I bought a Superman figure yesterday. Oh, really? Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, moving on, I guess. Oh, crap. Nope, we're heading towards our special 200 episode with our guests Pixel Dan and David Gall, and we're going to spend the whole episode talking about weird odd toy lines, and we're
yay.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I've got a few. Like, I don't know. I guess because I collect them, I don't think of them as being weird, you know? Like, if I've heard of it, I don't think of it as being obscure. That makes sense.
Well, it does. I mean, you know, Bugman of Insectica is obscure, and
it's pretty
Dragon
obscure.
Riders.
To be fair, I only have a couple of those.
True, because they're all terribly expensive.
For those of you keeping track,
Dave is still sick.
I have officially entered the coughing for no good reason phase of my
Dave's illness. Yes, Dave is still...
And apparently, it gets exacerbated when I try to talk.
Yes, when Dave tries,
which is going to be awesome for doing this podcast.
Yeah. So every time Dave's like.
Yeah, so I apologize for that.
Yes.
But let's see, if we didn't get this episode done, then we'd be screwed up for the 200.
Yeah, we would not be in a good place for.
So he's like, Dave, you got to record. I'm like, no, please, let me just stay here under the blanket. He's like, no.
You have to come talk.
You must talk. Nothing must threaten the episode 200. It's all I have.
It's all I'm...
All my plans come together for this one thing.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all I'm building towards
pretty
in life
much,
right
yeah.
now. I don't know what we're going to do after next week. They're like, oh.
Yeah, I still got one more week to go to live.
Yeah, fair enough.
Then I'm good.
Some news rolling out. The Mafex, the Japanese company Mafex, their 6-inch Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice Batman and Superman figures were revealed this week.
Didn't they also show off the Mattel ones?
The Mattel ones were showed off. These are, these are much, much, much nicer, of course.
Well, yeah, they're from Japan. Japan has standards.
Yes, they do. And these are really nice-looking figures. You can kind of get...
Japan would rather sacrifice a child than let a bad toy be sold.
Yes. It's kind of a blurry picture of this scan, but it's... You can really pick out the details.
They look articulated.
Yeah, they're very articulated. You can pick out the details really well on the Superman costume.
I don't know what's wrong with Superman's head.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's not
what's wrong with your face.
Yeah. No one's quite sure where the scan originated from. Probably out of a Japanese magazine somewhere.
Somewhere in Japan, I would guess.
Yes. But they look okay. I don't think they're the greatest things that have been done.
Superman's got... I mean, that's got to be from, like, a specific scene. Because that's just, like, he's got a weird, slick-backed thing. His eyes look kind of bruised.
Yeah, his...
He looks like he just looked bad.
Batman on
not the like, not, like, poorly done. I mean, he looks like I felt 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
He looks sick.
Yes.
I mean, Batman's all hunched over, but that could just be the pose he's in.
Yeah. So, yeah, they look all right. But those should be out probably... Well, probably next fall, I imagine, or before the movie.
Well, apparently the Mattel ones are July.
Yeah. So I'm guessing right around that time then. The Hot Toys hiatus, they used to do these Hot Angel figures where they do sexy female figures in highly detailed outfits. They've taken a break. They hadn't done one in a number of years now, but they've come back with a new Hot Angel series from Hot Toys for the Aliens vs. Predator 1/6 scale Alien Girl collectible figure. And
they must have done like a statue or something because I've seen that design before.
Yes, I think so. I think
of the girl wearing a costume that looks skimpy costume that looks like an alien.
Yes, so she is a Alien vs. Predator inspired Alien Girl is an original character designed by Hong Kong multimedia artist Mr. Alfonso Lam. And then a bunch of kanji. Her appearance is... whatever, Hong Kong. It's not kanji, but whatever that is. Her appearance is a unique combination of the stylistic xenomorph and a sensuous human girl. She's pretty sexy.
Which sort of misses the point.
Yeah, a little bit.
Almost. I mean, like, yeah, I get it. But the first of all, the alien's supposed to be male.
Yes.
To begin with. It's a very male concept creature. Which, you know, it's a family-friendly show, so we can't really get into why.
Yeah.
But that whole... The first movie is literally... I mean, the guy who wrote it said it was about a bad thing that males do. And the creature is just a male... I mean, literally, it's just a male body part.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of cool. Look, it's a neat idea that, you know, it's...
It's a cool design. If NECA were to copy it, I would probably get the NECA one, the 6-inch scale one.
Yes.
They're not doing it, but I'm just saying, if they were to do that,
yeah.
I would probably buy that.
Yeah.
A 12-inch scale, I'm just not... I don't have the space for it, and
yeah.
It's a cool design. If they did, you know, I think Hot Toys did do Machiko a while back from the original Alien vs. Predator comic. I believe they did her.
I think you're right.
Yeah. She's the human who survived the original comic and became like an official Predator. And they sort of did a nod to that in the movie, but not really.
Did they?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Like, the Predators were like, good job, and then they left her. Well, I mean, better than the alternative.
True.
I suppose.
That's very true. I was trying to find a picture to see if they... Yep, they had... I
figured they did do Magica. Yeah, now, that's another one that, if anyone from NECA is listening, again, I would buy that in the 6-inch scale.
Yeah, she'd be pretty cool. I like that her shield is basically the top of a Xenomorph's head.
Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, it's a cool... cool figure and a neat look, so... I didn't know they actually did a little tribute to that in the show, in the movie.
I mean, it's kind of like... Because originally the ending of the comic, I mean, I think he just kind of acknowledges her warrior skills and then goes off.
I gotcha. Speaking of NECA...
Speaking of NECA, yeah, NECA, I think you were a little too excited about this, and I had to, like, go make sure that you were like, Dave's gonna destroy himself, it's so awesome.
Yep, they're launching a new line of small scale movie vehicles called Cinemachines. Neat, nifty little name. But the first wave is going to be the Alien and Aliens licenses. So the vehicles which will debut in this line include the Space Jockey and the Space Jockey spaceship from Alien.
The Derelict.
Yep, and the M577 armored personnel carrier. Oh my god, I can't talk. And the UD-4L Cheyenne dropship. Thank you.
Which comes with, I believe it comes with its own little mini.
Yeah, it comes with its own little mini
APC.
Yeah, so...
The scale, because I read an article on this, the scale is described as being somewhere between Micro Machines and Action Fleet. Which is also Micro Machines.
Yeah, which is also Micro Machines. So.
I don't know. I mean, I've got, at great expense to myself, I've got all the Action Fleet alien stuff. I've got the dropship, and I've got the APC.
Yeah.
And I've got the Narcissus, which they're not doing. I might pick up the Derelict, just because that would be cool to have. I've got, like, a...
The Space Jockey spaceship?
I've got the spaceship.
Yeah.
The Derelict. And then I might pick up the Space Jockey. I've got, like, one or two versions of the Space Jockey. But, I mean, it is kind of a cool, iconic thing.
It is. It's very cool. And it's neat they're doing this line. So I thought
Cool. It'll be a good line to get.
Yeah. Hasbro revealed and announced a number of things for their Transformers line, including they unveiled...
Apparently that's just art.
They did finally confirm that the Titan Scale Fortress Maximus will be available fall of next year, which will be the first Titan Scale figure in the Titans Return line. And they didn't reveal the actual figure. They just showed off artwork of what the new design looks like. And it's Fort Max, but no one's quite sure if he's going to be bigger than the Constructicons, if he's going to be bigger than...
He should be.
Bigger than Metroplex.
Metroplex. Should be.
He should be. He definitely should be bigger than Metroplex. So, so they revealed this. They also revealed that they're turning to Transformer fans to help them determine which Titanic character from Transformers history should be the next Titan scale
Trypticon
figure for fall of 2017. The voting starts... it started Tuesday, November 24th, on the official Transformers Facebook page, facebook.com/Transformers. And you'll be able to cast
Trypticon.
A vote. Will you stop? You'll be able to cast a vote for which of the following fan favorite characters should be added to the line, which include Scorponok,
okay.
Omega Supreme,
no.
and Trypticon.
Yes.
So
Mega Supreme.
Everyone seems to want Trypticon.
That's because he's awesome.
I agree.
And he turns into a dinosaur.
Yes, he does. They're... I get a feeling that any way they slice it, whoever wins, the other figures will come out.
Maybe. I mean, these are going to be expensive toys.
Oh, yes. Very much so. In addition to the fan vote, Hasbro will also shared some new images, including new Transformers Robots in Disguise minicons, the hotly anticipated Transformer Generations Titans Return Leader Class Power Master Optimus Prime, the Transformers Ooh. Generations Combiner Wars G2 Bruticus, and then the brand new line of Transformers Generations Alt Modes featuring classic G1 styling and fun and innovative instant conversions, which just means...
Boo!
Yeah, crappy toys.
Nobody
cared about the instant conversions the last time they tried those.
It's because part of the fun of the toy is doing the transforming.
Yes, I agree.
Like, it's amazing that they've had this brand for 30 years, and just every now and then they forget what the point of it is.
Yeah.
Let's make a Transformer that doesn't transform. Let's make a Transformer that you don't have to transform.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a plan, guys.
That sounds like a good idea. Well, kids today are lazy and stupid. They don't want to have to play with their toys.
The Power Master Optimus Prime looks pretty darn neat.
Mm.
Very much in vein of, you know, what we know of Power Master. He looks very much kind of like the... G1 style Power Master with the guns and everything, and just the way he looks. City Mode looks very much the same that it does look. The only thing that makes me sad is that, much like the recent Ultra Magnus, in this the cab is not a removable transformable figure. Like, it all transforms into one figure. So,
gotcha.
Like Ultra Magnus, you can't transform the cab into a mini.
I hear you.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. I guess I was kind of disappointed in that. Kind of wish they would have done a different job with that. The instant conversion, the alt mode things are kind of dumb. They're basically just Transformers, like giant head, like,
so they're chibi things.
Yeah, basically they're chibis that transform.
Well, okay. Like, I don't mind them having dumb easy transformations for cute little things like that. That's fine. That's fine.
Look, Megatron transforms into a tank. Who would have thought?
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of silly, but I get what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fort Max was basically an artist rendition. The G2 Bruticus wave also.
They always do G2 Bruticus, man.
I know. But we are getting a G1 colored Bruticus.
No, we are. Yeah, he's on order, and actually those figures are supposed to be in any time now.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the box set comes with all six figures to form Bruticus, as well
Should
as
be
the
all Oh, that's right. Technically, Shockwave is
Technically, part of that. Shockwave is one of the figures for that. So he comes.
Well, I was already going to get him anyway. So
yeah, he transforms into the gun for Bruticus, which is kind of cool. Although it's again, it's a it's kind of a sad transformation. I mean, it kind of looks like G1 Shockwave, but
except it doesn't have a handle.
Yeah, it doesn't have a handle. That's the only downfall. But eh, it's cool that they released a bunch of that stuff. That they're going to do a number of those. The Titan class stuff we knew was coming, but it's just it's cool that you know.
Well, they, we heard a name, so yeah. We made assumptions.
Yeah, we made assumptions, and assumptions were correct this time.
Apparently, yeah.
A company called HCG is doing a Hollywood Collectible Group is their name, and they're presenting their first and their new line of officially licensed Ghostbuster multimedia statues.
Oh no, those are the worst.
Well, and these are the first one is Peter Venkman. Featuring an incredible likeness of the of Bill Murray in character as Venkman. The statue stands approximately 19 inches tall on its Ghostbuster theme base, standing in classic ghostbusting pose, captured with his Neutrona wand in hand. It comes complete with an intricately detailed proton pack. The HCG exclusive edition also comes with an additional scaled ghost trap and is limited to 250 pieces worldwide. Both versions are priced at $399.95 and are scheduled to ship second quarter of 2016. Now,
because that means the outfit's cloth, right?
It does appear that the outfit is cloth. I could
see
be
that
wrong,
is the worst of all possible worlds.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but from the pictures, it appears that it's cloth. I don't know if that. That sculpt, I mean, it's Bill Murray.
Yeah, it's
but
Bill Murray. It's recognizably Bill Murray, but yeah. It's
off a little bit.
Yeah.
His jowls need to be a little meatier.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely, definitely Venkman. But, I don't know, I mean, $400 for a statue? I mean, awesome if you're a huge Ghostbuster fan, which we have lots of people listening that are huge Ghostbusters fans. I'm one of those people, but
yeah,
$400 for a statue is just a little much for me. I'm still waiting for Hot Toys to actually announce their Ghost, because they had the Ghostbusters line for, license for a while. I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, I don't know
if they're waiting for the new movie before they...
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, Mattel's got the license for the new movie in terms of like regular toys.
Yes, in terms of regular toys they do, yeah. Did you see?
No, I'm blind. Why?
Star Wars Episode 7.
Hurtful.
It's hurtful. Hurtful. Let's see.
There's a bunch of TV commercials. I've seen one of them.
Yeah, not that. It's there was something about the pre-sale tickets have officially had a record. Like it's.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me.
I was looking. There was a. I wish I
thought you were gonna say they were sold out, and I'm like, I was kind of planning on going the next day anyway. At this point.
Oh, there it is on November 20th. This was from the UK, but.
That doesn't count then.
Foreigners don't count.
They've
already broken box office records with over $50 million in pre-sale tickets alone.
Foreigners.
So they've already made $50 million
over in England.
Well,
that's a real place.
It is.
I'm kidding. I know we have a. I know we have a lot of fans from over there.
We do.
I'm a huge Anglophile.
So Star Wars is already breaking records, and it's set to break even more at this point.
Really, the only thing it needs is to be good, and it'll crush everything.
Yes, I agree.
Literally, that's the only. Well, did you hear that Lucas is done with Star Wars?
I did. I read that.
I'm heartbroken.
I saw that he said he was...
He's done with Star Wars, and his favorite character is Jar Jar.
He literally said that.
Yeah, apparently he said his favorite character is Jar Jar.
And I wonder if he said that just because he...
I think part of it is he might mean it, and part of it is he's being defiant. I think he liked that character.
Which is because
he grew up with those old-timey movies where you had a character who was usually not white. And he didn't get that that was the thing, but like... You know, they were the comic relief guy who was afraid of everything and useless, and he thought it was funny, and so he wanted one of those in his movies, and didn't really understand, which is interesting, because he's actually very liberally oriented mentally.
Yep. But yeah, I did read that he said, I'm done with Star
Wars. He did say he was done with Star
Wars. I'm done with the Star Wars.
Yeah, and I'm sure Disney's like, oh no, please come back.
Saturday Night Live did a great sketch this past weekend, it was a film sketch, and it was basically... it was J.J. Abrams, and it really was J.J. Abrams, introducing the unseen Star Wars Episode 7 screen tests. And I don't want to ruin it for people, but if you haven't seen it, go watch it. I'll let Dave watch it after we're done recording.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for bringing it up.
No, it's pretty hysterical, but let's just say that there is a George Lucas sighting in that is okay. Pretty spectacular. So while we're on the sequel, while we're on the subject of movies, G.I. Joe had a little bit of news. The fact that they announced that Deadline reported that after successfully leading the writing room for three potential Transformers sequels, writer and producer...
Three potential.
Yeah, writer and producer Akiva Goldsman has joined the G.I. Joe writer's room for the G.I. Joe franchise.
Yeah. And then apparently that article got the name of the last movie wrong.
Yeah, it did. Yes, it did. That's interesting that...
He did, I think he did A Beautiful Mind.
Yes.
Which was a good film.
Yes.
And then he did a bunch of genre movies that nobody likes, and I can't remember. I think he did the Spider-Man ones. Didn't he do the new Spider-Mans, or was that Kurtzman?
Akiva Goldsman wrote...
I know he's done a lot that people think are really bad. Like nobody seems to be very particularly happy about this news.
Yeah, they're not. He's not a particularly... he's had great...
I know he's done a lot of work with Howard, with Ron Howard.
He has.
He did iRobot. Wow.
He did. Written...
That was a movie that happened.
He's been writing the screenplay for The Dark Tower, based on the Stephen King novel.
Oh, good.
Transformers 5, Transformers 6, Transformers 7, Transformers 8.
Well, we said potentially 3.
I know. He wrote a number of episodes of Fringe, which were really good. He wrote the screenplay to I Am Legend, The Da Vinci Code, iRobot, A Beautiful Mind, Practical Magic, Lost in Space, Batman and Robin.
Okay, Lost in Space and Batman and Robin were probably the two that people brought up.
A Time to Kill he wrote, which was a great film. Batman Forever.
It was a good film.
The Client.
Client was okay.
So he's written a number of...
So basically when he does non-genre stuff, he did Jonah Hex. I mean, hey. That set the box office on fire.
Right.
So basically non-genre stuff, he's actually fairly decent.
Fairly.
And genre stuff, he's poop.
Yes, pretty much. So that should be interesting to look forward to see what
I can't wait to see what awesome sort of bird-related puns Arnold Schwarzenegger's raptor will, you know?
Oh, yes.
Screech to see you.
Screech to see you.
I don't know.
Kickstarter updates.
Hooray!
Our buddies over at Warpo for the Don't Cuddle the Krampus line. I had a chance to speak to them in email and told them that Dave and I, while we're not the largest website on the internets, for toys, they will find
you know, what will make up
what
is a free mug.
It's a free mug. I told them that they would find no louder cheerleaders than Dave and I for what they're doing because
yes,
what they're doing is amazing.
Well, between with you, definitely.
Yes, what they're doing is right. But the Don't Cuddle the Krampus as of this recording has 16 days to go. They've got $55,613 of their $70,000.
Oh wow, they haven't hit it yet.
No, not yet.
Come on, people.
I know, guys. If you
do as I say, not as I do.
If you know, Don't Cuddle the Krampus is a great, great retro '80s toy line inspired. You know, and it's an amazingly well done project. So if you haven't gone out and supported them yet, support them. Let's get it to 70,000. Let's get them to their goal, and let's get this backed because it's well worth it.
If only because I want to see what they do next.
Yes, we talked about Mr. Science Theater 3000.
Oh, they don't need the help.
No, but they've got 18 days to go, and they have hit their $2 million goal.
Yep.
Now they're heading towards the next million. So they're at $2,556,585. So
apparently they're gonna have an all new cast.
They are gonna have a whole new cast.
And Felicia Day, who apparently is a big thing that I don't know about, but she's huge.
Uh-huh.
She's gonna be the Mad.
Yep. She is going to be the mad scientist.
One of the mads.
Yep, one of the mads. She has been announced.
There's a new host.
Yep, there's a new host.
So basically, the old crew's not coming back.
No.
I've read one article about this, and that particular author was very happy about this turn of events and wants it to be a new thing, and I can see that. Like, I can logically see that. For me, it would be more like bringing the old crew back together.
Right.
So I'm kind of like...
Yeah. I agree.
At this point, it depends on... and again, it depends on the movies. Like,
Depends on what
they do. I don't know. I just... like I said, you know, you've got Riff Tracks, you've got Cinematic Titanic.
Yep.
And I just do that myself now. Mostly because I just watch movies by myself.
Yes.
So I just sort of like, you know, particularly if it's a good one, like sometimes our friend Wheeler, I'll send him texts kind of riffing on a movie.
Yeah. Kind of riffing on things. And,
yeah. I know people are really excited about this, but I wonder if they understand that this is a whole new thing and isn't gonna be what they remember.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but it's already gonna happen. So.
Yeah, it's already getting funded, so it's already gonna happen.
And I mean at least sure. Some of the people behind the scenes are old schoolers, so there is right. That.
There is that. Which is pretty good.
Sure.
I don't know. We'll wait and see what happens until they actually announce the films. So we should be there soon once they finalize the funding. We should know what the movies they picked are.
Hopefully.
So the action figure archival trays for display and storage from Toy Gear. They have 8 days to go, and they have cleared their $1,000 goal. I think last time we talked, they hadn't quite.
They've cleared it handily.
Oh yeah, they're well over $5,000, $5,124 on
good
there.
Good for them.
I agree. Very very good for them. So they did clear their November 21st. They announced two new add-ons, which those add-ons are add-on 1A with
different kinds.
Yeah. So they've announced a few different items for add-ons, a few different options for add-ons. So, but good for them that they hit that.
Yeah.
Santa Claria's Shark Hunter creature action figure.
Hey, it hit its goal, too.
Yes, it did. He has 18 days to go.
Like we are kingmakers. Yes, we are the new What's on Joe Mind.
I think last time we talked, he wasn't even anywhere close to hitting his goal.
I remember being way shorter than I thought it was.
Yep. His goal was $9,750, and he has cleared that. He is at $15,171 with 18 days to go.
Cool.
Which is pretty darn neat. So if you haven't gone through to get one of those yet, he is offering an add-on as of November 19th. He is basically adding the Tibonera hatchling.
Okay. A little baby monster.
Yep, little baby monster. So that's part of the pledge. So that'll be... sounds like that'll be fully painted and such, but just a little PVC hatchling monster, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then something I announced, I kind of threw out on the fan page.
This one's on you, buddy.
Yeah, this one's on me.
I'm going to scoot back in case I have to cough.
I had shown on the fan page, and I had seen it on Sunday morning. I was laying in bed playing on my phone, and I came across it. And I started looking at it and found out a couple things about it. It was kind of cool, but... Pat Contry, who is Pat the NES Punk, which he's pretty popular YouTube host for Retroware, which is the same company that Danny does a lot of stuff for, Retroware TV.
Oh, I see how it goes.
Pat Contry has launched a Kickstarter for he's doing a hardcover Nintendo NES library guide and review book, which covers over 750 plus games. Pretty cool idea, basically. The Ultimate Nintendo Guide to the NES Library from 1985 to 1995 is an expansive and thorough look at one of the greatest video game libraries of all time, the Nintendo Entertainment System. The 450-page book covers all licensed and unlicensed games released during the system's lifespan and features information and reviews on hundreds of classics and not-so-classic 8-bit games. A lot of neat. Basically, it's going to be two games per page, so they can fit it all in. And it'll show you the cartridge, it'll give you a brief description, it'll give you a little review of it, and then a bunch of screenshots for it, which pretty cool, neat idea. It gives you kind of an idea of what the games are like, as well as they'll do a lot of people have basically thrown their name in the hat for reviews to do, you know, get this book done. The book section's 750-plus North American games, reviews, and reflections. Over 30 European PAL exclusive reviews, 10 HES exclusive reviews, a test card overview, a promo special game carts, North American game cart variants, popular NES controllers and accessories, and supplemental articles. And one of the supplemental articles is done by our good buddy Dan Erdley.
Dan Erdley. I figured his name would come up.
He is doing From Plastic to Pixels.
Ah!
Yeah, right. Got it. So, Horror on the NES by James Rolfe, who many of you probably know as the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Okay.
He is contributing. How the NES Zapper Works by Joey Desina. In Their Words, the NES Launch by Frank Cifaldi. Color, Dreams, and Wisdom Tree by Karen Niema. Tengen and the Nintendo Lawsuit by Norm Caruso, The Dragon Warrior Giveaway by the author Pat Contry, Nintendo Censorship Hypocrisy by Pat Contry, of course Danny's From Plastic to Pixels, and Why Was Music So Good on the NES by Brent Black. Very cool idea, very interesting idea. There are no stretch goals, but it's a 450-page, 9x12 hardcover book, so it's a big book. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a neat idea. Anyone that grew up with Nintendo games in the 80s and the 90s.
You haven't backed it?
I have not backed it. It's $60. It's a $60 backing to get the physical book, which I do plan on backing this item to get this book, because it's a really great idea. And I do fully, we don't delve a lot in the video game stuff because that's just not our area. Like, we both play video games, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I play some. I mean, this is really just not my... It's not my thing.
It was kind of
in my era, but like I mean, this is why I don't have student debt, because I didn't have video games. I didn't go to Disney World.
Right.
Like apparently, like every dime was put away for college.
Right. Right.
So in retrospect, it's like, you know, okay, I missed out on Nintendo, but I'm not paying off debts from 20 years ago.
Yes.
So, but I Nintendo was a thing that just completely passed me over. I had the 2600. And I had the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
And literally, like, everything in between that, I never had a game.
Yep.
I had a friend who had Intellivision, I think, and then my senior year of college, there was a week after school ended, before graduation.
Right.
Some people had a Sega, I think. So I played a little bit on that.
Yeah, you have to play a little bit.
Yeah, I was never a video game guy. I never was.
That's all right, Dave. We won't hold that
against. And Nintendo especially just completely passed me off.
Yep. You were a very weird age when that came out.
I could have been, but it just wasn't my thing.
Right. But he his goal was 16,500. And understand, this just launched this past weekend. He had a $16,500 goal. He surpassed it. He has 29 days to go.
Well, Nintendo's huge. I mean,
yes. And this is a heck of a project. This is a heck of an idea. People have wanted something like this for a long time.
I'm surprised that there's not anything like it.
I am too. So, but he currently is at a pledged goal of $22,729. So he has surpassed his $16,500 goal.
Yes. So the book will happen.
The book will happen. So, but if it's something you guys are interested in, go to Kickstarter.com and look up Nintendo NES Library Guide, and you'll find, or just look up Pat Contry's name, and you'll find this. This project. Yeah, I do need to get backing on this, because I really would like to have one of those books. I think it's a...
I just don't want to have to hear about it that you didn't get the book.
Yeah, I know.
There are enough of those.
Yes, there are quite a few of those that I'm like, I didn't get it.
I wish I had.
But with that out of the way...
And I can't bail you out on that one.
I know. What do you say we answer some of our fan questions?
Yay, Alex.
Alex McKay, who was taking up the banner for the fan questions for the time being until after next week.
Yes.
But Alex starts off with, your friendly fan page hero here. Wow, here we are at episode 199. It seems like yesterday that I sat down to listen to episode 1 of this podcast.
It could have been.
You guys always find something interesting to talk about, and I can't thank you enough.
I told you, man. These people, they'll eat anything.
I know. I can't thank you enough for entertaining me every week. On with my question, looking into the future... into the future 1 year, what do you hope to add to your collection by then? Of course, I mean this realistically. Also, just wanted to say that I'm loving the updated photos of Dave's collection.
Yeah, well, it's a yearly thing.
Yeah.
And it's not just, honestly, it's not just about ego. You know, look at my stuff. I literally, when I'm at a toy show, sometimes I will call those up to see if I have a certain thing.
Yes.
So there is like a... And it's interesting for me, because I go through, because I have last year's and I have this year's, and
you can see how it changes.
Yeah, so there is an interest, and obviously people seem to enjoy it. Obviously, foreign scale, but old Han Solo.
Mm.
I mean, I know we're getting black.
Yep.
Foreign scale, just Han, Luke, Leia. Well, yeah, I guess. Apparently, the black series, the 4-inch black series, the second wave, you know, figures that people care about are hitting.
Right.
So if you're in Walmart and you see them, just don't even bother sending a text.
Yeah.
I'm good for them.
Just grab them.
Just grab them.
Grab them and run. What do I want to add to my collection? Well, the Ghost Command playset is always at the top of that list of something I want to add to the collection.
Well, yeah. You're working on that, though.
I am working on that. I am indeed. if our, our sponsor would, would respond back to me with what I've been texting him back and forth about. But yeah, no, I am working on that. I am I'm working on a deal for that. So it's pretty interesting. It's I'm excited about that happening. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen sooner than later.
I mean, probably a little more advancement on vintage Star Wars. Unfortunately, due to bad planning, there's like a whole bunch of new movies out that are stirring up interest. So, like, I'm trying to, like, swim upstream in terms of, as always happens to me, it's like,
yeah,
I want to buy vintage Star Wars. Oh, now it's all expensive because people care about it.
Should have bought vintage Star Wars 3 years ago.
You know what? I should have.
Yep.
I didn't.
But you were being Mr. Picky over your Leia's and
R2-D2. I was. Well, it's...
That held you up.
I wasn't ready to end yet. Now I'm getting there.
Now you're like, aw. Dan Arash says, what are some of the most interesting advertisement pieces you two have in your collections? I know Jason has some neat cereal boxes.
Tell us about your cereal boxes, Jason.
Oh, I got some cereal boxes. Actually, the coolest thing I've got is something that, again, I sent a message to Brent Scarano. I owe him for this. I owe him $15 for this. And I sent him a message trying to get his PayPal so I could pay him. And somebody won't answer me back there either. I'm like, God.
Nobody likes you but me.
Apparently not. I'm like, you, I got money, I want to pay granted. You. Brent Scarano found a dealer out where he lives that was selling a bunch of these Buena Vista home video advertising proofs that I thought were kind of neat. He had a bunch of Muppet ones, and then one day he found a Little Mermaid one. And this would be from September 14th, 1993 at 11:48 p.m. is when they printed this overlay. And basically what it is, it's almost like... It's a two-color, almost, they're almost like animation cells. And there is, on the upside, there's like some, there's some details that are on there, like Sebastian's eyes, Ariel and Flounder's eyes, some details of the hair. And then you've got like the middle portion, which is like the main.
Yeah, it's some kind of printing.
Yeah, it's just the way they print these, but the way they proof them. And then the underside is like... just the yellow and reds, and then you've got another layer that's just yellows, or you've got a layer. Yeah, so it's an interesting, it's a very interesting layout that when they're all put together, it gives you this full color picture. But that's, I think, the most interesting advertisement piece I have in my collection right now.
I don't know about like advertising per se, but I think probably one of my big cool pieces is Target when the special editions came out. And then leading up to episode one, for a couple years in a row, one or two, maybe three, they had these specially made Lego figures. The first one was Yoda, and the second one was R2-D2. And the whole thing is you could win it if you filled out a little form and guessed how many bricks were in it.
Yeah.
And I got the R2-D2. I won the R2-D2. By like stuffing the box with like just every possible guess
you could.
Well, I found out how many bricks were in the Yoda, and just like lower, upper, you know, like,
right.
Like went totally Price is Right crazy on them, because they actually commented that I had filled out like a ridiculous amount of entry forms, but I won it, and they actually gave me the entire display.
Yeah, which is now sitting in
which
your collection.
Is now part of my collection. Yeah,
that's a pretty neat piece too.
That's a pretty neat one. There was a giant Darth Vader head that they had during the prequels.
Yes.
That they hung from the ceiling of Toys R Us. Yep. And that somehow managed to find its way into my car eventually. Like, they kept that in the back for years.
Oh, yeah, no, it was back there forever. It was put up forever.
Yeah.
And then one day, our buddy Dave, who used to work at Toys R Us, just basically was like, hey, I got something for you.
Yeah. Well, he'd been talking about it for a while, but he finally got around to it.
Yeah, because they finally forgot about it. And he was like, here, take it, run. Yes, Dave's got some cool stuff. I've got some of that, some stuff like that, that, you know, like the printing layout. But, you know, I've got a lot of other stuff, like movie posters, which fall into that realm.
Well, yeah.
Danny
actually gave me this big, giant cardboard Kraft cheese R2-D2.
Yes.
Display thing.
Yeah, that had Kraft cheese inside of it.
Had Kraft cheese inside of it.
Had packages in it, yeah.
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 Yeah, packaged Kraft cheese.
Yeah. Not just like,
you know. No.
Bleh. So there's some cool stuff in the collection, advertisement-wise. Our buddy dealer, Dan Pulley, says, if disaster struck and you had to start your collection over, what lines would you drop and why?
Everything but Star Wars.
Everything but Star Wars, really?
And everything but vintage Star Wars.
Ah, so you drop Joe?
And maybe Shogun Warriors Godzilla. That would be the one thing that I would get that's not Star Wars. No, Area Ed Joe would be gone in a heartbeat.
Wow.
If I had to start over?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna get a fourth flag.
No. Or fifth.
Another Defiant.
Or six. Yeah,
no. Ugh. No, Joe would be gone. Everything would be gone but vintage Star Wars and probably Shogun Warriors Godzilla.
I don't know what if my collection got ruined and I had to start over, I'd keep the Little Mermaid stuff. I'd get all of it back that I could. Because that stuff's very special to me. And then I'd probably just keep a handful of the 80s lines that I would try to get back. Filmation Ghostbusters, which would take me years. Rambo, some of those would take a while. But I would dump everything else, honestly. Yeah. Just because a lot of the stuff that I've collected, I've fallen into and been like, well, I have like one or seven pieces. I might as well get the rest. So...
I do that a lot, too.
That's how the cookie crumbles, unfortunately.
I do that a lot. You know, there's like, I have a Kenner bookcase, so I would get stuff just because it's for the Kenner bookcase. Yep, you know, yep. I do a lot of dumb stuff that, in retrospect, like, you know, I had money at a toy show, and then might as well.
Yep. You're like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, but if I had to start over, I would absolutely only do Star Wars.
Yep. And then last but not least, Ben Fink says, how far do you guys normally go with army builder type figures like Stormtroopers, Cobra Troopers, Viacons, or Joe Troops?
Well, Stormtroopers I don't have to worry about too much because they always keep making new ones.
Yes.
Especially with Clone Wars, man. You could just get one of each and you'd still have an army. Battle Droids are kind of the same. My thing is there are one or two characters that I do have a lot of. Vipers from G.I. Joe.
Yep, Vipers.
Usually what I do is I get three. I get two guys and then... if there's some kind of variant, I'll get him, and he'll be like the officer, and then the two guys are like the supporting troops.
Right.
And that's my thing. I do them in three. So there's an officer and two guys.
I'm not really much of a troop builder.
You don't really have a lot of lines that have a lot of...
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I've got... like, you know, I think the farthest... I've got a troop of... I've got an army built of Aerials.
Well, okay.
Does that count?
No, because she's a specific character.
That's
a collection. It's like a collection of baronesses. It's a specific character. Mm. Army builders means it's a generic guy that you're literally building an
yeah,
army.
Yeah, I don't have any. I really have no answer for that because I've never gone out of my way to army. I think the closest I ever got was I bought a couple of G.I. Joe Cobra Zombies when they came out, and then I sold.
Zombie Vipers.
Yeah, I sold them.
About five of those.
Yeah, I think that was the closest I got to even considering army building, and I was like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get you.
Rubble, rubble, rubble.
Yeah, it's not really how you do it.
No. That's not how I rolls. But there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up our show pretty early for this week of Dave and Duvall's Toy. Well, that's all right. We'll be back next week with a long show.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's going to be fun.
Get your rest now.
Yes, get your rest now because it's going to be interactive to a degree.
Oh, good.
Well, they'll just have to follow along with pictures we're looking at, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah, well, yeah. But we'll be back next week with an episode 200. Make sure you check out our sponsors at shellheadcomics.com, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/toyworldorder. Hit subscribe. Mash the like button. Enjoy all we have there to offer and so much more. And check us out on toyworldorder.com. And until next week, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.